Welcome to a Wednesday edition of the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Roberts, and in today's show, I'll be going over the news of the day and looking at box scores with the king of box scores, Mike Catron, who you can find on Twitter at WatchTheBoxes or WatchTheBoxes.com.
Wow, king of box scores.
Absolutely. Well, it's in your name, right?
Royalty. I didn't invent the box score.
No. I didn't say the inventor. You're the king of box scores.
Rule them.
Absolutely.
They're my minions.
I should mention, so yesterday I know we had some connection issues. I am playing a road game this week. I am in Los Angeles for work, so I am doing this via hotel Wi-Fi connection. So if we go, we'll try to make sure that we don't lose connection and that we cut out any bad connection, and obviously apologize for the connection issues yesterday. But hopefully, I think, Mike, our connection, I think, is pretty good. So I think we'll be okay.
Yeah, I think it should be all right. You're not out in L.A. to beg Kobe to retire earlier, are you?
I already got him to retire at the end of the season. What do you want from me?
Just quicker. No, I got to go see him when he comes around Chicago.
You care about that? Like, do you care about seeing him one more time in the current version of Kobe Bryant?
Not as much in the current version. Mm-hmm. But I think it might be, yeah, I think you got to pay respects. I've never been a Kobe fan, mm-hmm. but the guy's had an incredible career. He's the only person from that draft class who's still playing.
He's missed the most amount of field goals in NBA history, which is an impressive feat.
He's setting records. You know, why not? Why not go see him, pay your respects, kind of say good riddance as well, so you don't have to deal with the many years of just...
I feel like there's a chance that he has like a 40-point game left in him, and I think he should just retire whenever that happens.
He should walk off the court and he's never seen
just
again.
Just take off his jersey and be like, that's it. I shot above 50%. I scored 40 points. This is it for me.
I love that idea. That'd be great.
That's what I'm hoping for. No, I'm hoping to catch the Clippers-Pacers game on Wednesday night, which is the day of this podcast. Yeah, I'm hoping. Paul George has been tearing that up this season, so I'm thinking that will be a fun game.
Yeah, he's been too good, really. It's kind of shocking how well he came back from that horrific broken leg.
Yeah, and really that whole Pacers team, they are a half game ahead of your very own Chicago Bulls.
Quiet. Yeah, they are. I think we just beat them. We either just beat them or just lost to them. I have a short-term memory problems. But I'm impressed with what they've done with that team, kind of retooling it into this small ball, shoot a lot of threes, kind of exploit Paul George's ability to be a Draymond Green-esque type player. Surprisingly, Draymond Green is better than Paul George at being that stretch four ball handler passing ability guy. Granted, Paul George is a lot more talented on offense.
Right. Speaking of your Bulls, how are you feeling about them by now?
I have no idea. It's such a weird team to watch because they keep winning.
Right.
And I don't know why they're winning. It's always like the last three plays of the game and someone ends up doing something incredible, usually blocking some shot so we don't lose. There's no – see, with Tibbs' teams, there was an identity. They were going to come out and play way too hard. Everybody's going to play too many minutes. But there was going to be defensive cohesiveness and the same, you know, eight set plays over and over. With Hoiberg, there's really – doesn't seem to be any rhythm with our offense or any rhythm with our defense. It comes and goes.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how much are you regretting the Fred Hoiberg being hired?
I can't regret. It's too early to decide. I'm not regretting it too much right now. You got to give me till late January before I start throwing stuff at Fred Hoiberg from the stands.
I'm concerned about him matching up against a real NBA coach in the playoffs.
Yeah, Maybe his lack of patterns will help him. They have no idea how to plan for him because they don't even know what's coming. What rotation will be out here tonight? Who knows?
His lack of coaching ability will create chaos that nobody can plan for.
The anarchy will win us at least two games in the playoffs.
What are your expectations for the Bulls at this point? Are you hoping for, like, is Eastern Conference Finals, is that sort of best case scenario?
Well, personally, we're going to the finals. We're beating LeBron this year.
Okay.
I expect the Eastern Conference Finals. Okay. We're still a good team. The East is still good, not great. It's better than it was in the last couple of years. But
the Bulls are, I will remind you, the Bulls are only maybe a half out of the ninth seed. Not that the ninth seed is anything. Ninth place, I guess I should say.
Oh, yeah, in the league.
Yeah. No, they're out of the the Celtics are in the ninth place in the East right now, and they're a game and a half behind the Bulls.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow, the East is tight this year.
Yeah, it's tight. Well, we've only played 18 games.
Yeah, I'm not worried about it. We'll be a top three seed. I would be surprised if the Bulls aren't a top three seed in the East. I gotta stop saying we. I guess I technically pay for season tickets, but I expect the Bulls to be in the top three. I expect them to go against LeBron, and I want to win, and I won't be surprised if LeBron ends up taking it like he usually does, but he's getting old.
So, all right,
whatever I can manage to get me through the playoffs.
Yeah. All right, let's get into what everybody's here to listen to us talk about, which is fantasy basketball. And of course, with the king of the box scores, we're going to go through the box scores from Tuesday night, talk about what was interesting to us, what we're going to do about it. And Mike, I think since this is a road game for me, I think it'd probably work best if you lead us through the box scores here.
Sure. Do you want to pop up the ESPN box scores? Oh, it's not a video?
No.
Okay. Well, then we'll just talk about the box scores. Yeah. If you're following along at home, go to the ESPN box scores. Because that's what I will be using as a reference.
Okay.
So let's just start out with just the order of the games tonight. Wizards Cavs. Looking at this box score, John Wall finally reappeared, I guess. He had a nice start to the season, but tonight he had 35, 10 assists, 4 rebounds, 5 steals, and 3 threes, 14 for 24 from the field. Apparently someone lit a fire under him.
This has got to be the best line of the night, I would think.
You might be surprised. I think there might be a better line.
I don't know. I think this one's pretty tough to beat. That is an impressive start, or impressive game from John Wall.
He's kind of been MIA lately.
Yeah, the 41 minutes for him, Beal, and Porter is a little bit surprising as well.
Yeah, and a little, I think, disconcerting when I look at Otto Porter. I guess, granted, he had LeBron James as a matchup tonight.
Right.
But a couple things that's nothing really terribly stands out as, like, let's go pick somebody up, let's get rid of someone. Jared Dudley did get the start in this game.
So let's go back to Otto Porter, because you said you were concerned about him. I agree. I mean, he played 42 minutes. He had 6 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, and a block. And your point is valid. He was probably guarding LeBron James, but that's sort of his role on this team. Like, there's not always a LeBron James, but there's not always a best player on the other team. And I think he's always going to be guarding that player.
Yeah, he's supposed to be guarding the bigger wing players.
And I think that's always going to, you know, prohibit him from doing a lot on the offensive end. This is the fourth time in 5 games that he scored single-digit points.
Yeah, he's just – I think what a lot of people saw last year in the playoffs was, oh, here comes the Otto Porter they drafted with such a high pick. he's still got apparently a lot of room to grow, but he's ranked 68th in averages overall, but he puts up these duds of a game. So, like you said, in the last five games, there's only all four out of the five single digit scoring nights. But before that, some 19 and 17 with some rebounds, some steals, the occasional block. He had a nice run of steals, decent assists. It's like the potential is there.
So I think you're not alone in pointing to the playoffs from last season as like, hey, look, this is something that Otto Porter can do. How many points do you think Otto Porter averaged in the playoffs last season? He played 10 games.
Oh, I remember it not being as great as it seemed. I remember he had, was it like lower double digits?
It's 10.0, exactly.
Oh, my gosh.
So
Yipes.
That's the best stretch pretty much of his career. He shot 44% from the field. He did make a three a game. He had a steal per game. He averaged 8 rebounds, which is probably, you know, pretty impressive. But like 10, 8, and a steal and a three-pointer seems like a waiver wire player to me.
Yeah, and definitely that's why I'm so surprised he...
And use? Like, you could use him, but he's not a guy that I feel like definitely has to be on my roster.
And that's why I'm so surprised he's ranked so high. He's 82nd in total, 68th in averages.
Is that on Yahoo?
I got 9-cat. I use Basketball Monster for my ranking.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, 9-cat, he's going to be helped out because of the turnovers, I would think.
Yeah. And that's strictly 9-cat. When you look at him in more of a head-to-head, I'm punting, you know, percentages. It's not. He brings value with free throws. He's okay at steals, but he's not good at anything else. And I don't know. Even though he has flashes of like, well, this guy could put it together. I think that team's a little too crowded for him to really break the top 100.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see him finishing in the top 100 by the end of the year? Let's say on totals.
That's sort of a question of durability. Like, can he play 80 games? Then he probably gets over that hump. But I don't think
barely.
I don't think at any given time he's a top 100 player. I think just because of attrition, that you know he kind of ends up there if he doesn't get hurt. But yeah, I know I have no problem dropping him. And then if he's around when he gets hot again or he starts playing well, pick him up. But like if somebody else in your league picks him up, I don't think you're losing out on that much.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I've been talking lately in my latest column on watchtheboxes.com, shameless plug, that we have a good enough sample size now, about 20% of the season, I think. Right. And that's a good enough sample size to kind of know what people are. And you need to start getting a little bit more aggressive with your trades, with your who you pick up and drop. Sitting around waiting for Otto Porter to be a 19-5 and 2 steal guy, you're going to be waiting the rest of the season.
Yeah, that's not this season for sure.
So if there's a guy hot right now, bring him in, take Otto out. If Otto gets hot, bring him in, take the other guy out. I guess don't wait on guys at the end of your bench. Your end of your bench should be expendable.
Totally agree. What about on the Cleveland side here?
Not a whole surprising lot. Timofey Mozgov with a whopping 9 minutes. I hate that guy. He's the worst.
That's impressive that he started and he only played 9 minutes.
Yeah, good for him. And had 4 turnovers. That's even better.
That's got to be some kind of record.
Of now, LeBron almost had a triple-double in turnovers as the third with 24 and 13 rebounds, 4 assists. What do you think of JR?
I mean, in a very different way, I feel like he's the same sort of player as Otto Porter. Like he's going to help you in different categories. But I feel like the value-wise, he kind of tops out where Otto Porter is, which is basically like yeah, he can be used when things are going well, and when things aren't going well, you can drop him and replace him with someone else. And if you aren't able to pick him up next time, don't sweat it. You know, he's been playing the last 2 weeks. He's been playing very well. I think over his last seven games, he's averaging like 15 points. He's hitting 3 3-pointers a game. He's getting over a steal a game. He's actually getting over a block a game, which is surprising.
Yeah.
That probably won't continue. No. He's not shooting exceptionally well. Like, his field goal percentage is still in the low 40s.
He never will, though.
No. So that's basically what I'm saying. Like, aside from the blocks, this is good J.R. Smith that you would expect to see for stretches in the season. So, like, if you need 3-pointers, you need some scoring, pick him up. Then he'll start playing poorly. You can drop him.
He's always streaky. But I think his streaks, his the ceiling of his streaks are much higher and longer than Otto Porter's. So I'd rather have JR. I mean, I agree with maybe taking the same strategy for both of them, but if I had to choose between the two, I would rather ride JR Smith's streaks than Otto Porter's streaks.
And I agree with that mainly because I think JR has a chance to help you in points, which is always sort of the toughest category to pick up.
And threes, which you need a lot of threes on now. I've been very nerdily keeping track of the finishing standings of leagues I've been in over the last X amount of years. And, you know, threes, and this, you don't need to be to keep track of stuff like that to know that threes to win the league, you need more threes every single year over the last, you know, 3 to 4 years. It's steadily gone up. And obviously with the way the league has turned into a 3-point shooting league, being okay at threes just isn't good enough anymore. Especially when the guy you might be playing has, you know, Steph Curry on his team and he's better than your whole team alone.
Right.
I don't know if he had anyone else like a Middleton on his team adding another 2 threes a game. Threes are tough.
You've got to be committed to it, that's for sure.
Yeah. And, a lot tougher than he used in the past.
The other thing that would make me a little concerned about J.R. Smith is just that, you know, Kyrie Irving and Iman Shumpert are getting closer and closer to returning.
Yeah.
You know, that's going to cut into his minutes and his shots a little bit, but until they do, and you know, given that he's playing well right now, I'm okay picking him up.
If you have him, you're in a. Well, I think I've said pick him up in all standard leagues for sure, but he's ranked 47th on averages in the last 2 weeks. For the season, he's 134th, so he's still on that fringe standard league ranking. But he looks good right now. I would want to sell high on him. Just move him if someone's.
You can trade him for anything of value, I would totally do that.
Do it immediately.
Because he's going to be back on the waiver wire at some point this season. That's not to say he's not a good fantasy player. Like, he does have fantasy value. It just comes and goes. And so if you can get trade value while, you know, buy low, sell high sort of a thing.
Yeah, now's the time. Why Kyrie's still out. Shumpert's still out. Mo Williams coming back from that injury has allowed JR to do more things. So, and Mo Williams is not coming back very well, it seems. And another guy where he had a nice start and his value after the injury, Kyrie coming back, Shumpert coming back. Another guy, if people think he has value, move him. I'm okay with moving on from Mo Williams as well.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed. All right, what's our next game there?
Yeah, let's go to the next game of the night. Oh boy, Lakers Philly, winners of the first game in the longest losing streak in the history of sports. Philadelphia 76ers.
I hope you all took my advice from last night, which was to bet all of your bet DSI money on the Sixers, because the Sixers came out victorious here.
I watched the second half of this game intently.
What was the purpose behind that?
Schadenfreude, I believe. it was so hilariously bad basketball. There was not one lick of defense played the entire game. So it was actually kind of, it's like watching an entertaining pickup game. I actually got a little too into it. I started tweeting a D-League pass alert hashtags online, following every move, every Kobe turnover, every bad shot.
That's a good one.
It was great. I enjoyed watching this. But the thing between these two teams, right, is there's not a lot of fantasy value on either one of these teams.
No, I mean, the thing that maybe we need to note right now, just from a news perspective, is that New Orleans Noel did return in this game.
Mm-hmm.
He played 26 minutes off the bench. He played well. He had 14 points, 9 rebounds, 3 assists, and a steal. And he shot well. He shot 5 of 7 from the field, which probably is a season high as far as field goal percentage goes. Yeah, I mean, so... News-wise, I don't see a whole lot else going on. I'm kind of intrigued that D'Angelo Russell got as much run as he did. He played 37 minutes. If he's going to get anything close to that level of playing time, he's probably a guy that you'd want to add, don't you think?
He's probably, based on his playing time, yes. I don't think D'Angelo Russell's good. I don't think he's a good basketball player. Maybe he will learn his way into it. Maybe because Kobe Bryant is on the team and taking tons of shots, like 26 shots in this game. Kobe was 4 for 17 from 3-point.
17 range. Seems like a lot of 3-pointers.
Well, he made his first three.
Oh, no. So are you telling me he went 1 for 14 to finish out?
He must have. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yep. My goodness.
It was wonderful to watch the whole game. Meta World Peace, a little, as we were talking about our plus minus league, if you're in Meta World Peace with the only plus on the Lakers at plus 7. Been a good
back to D'Angelo Russell. I don't think he continues to get this playing time. I know Lou Williams came back, from, I think being at his grandfather's funeral. If I have that wrong, I apologize.
No, I don't know.
I think that's what he missed it for. So he only played 21 minutes, probably, you know, just returning to the team. I would be surprised if D'Angelo Russell gets anything close to 36 minutes a game, but under the law that says if there's a point guard that's playing 35 minutes a game, you probably ought to roster him. I think you roster D'Angelo Russell. So I'm watching that for the next game or two to just to see if the playing time keeps up.
Would you rather have Jordan Clarkson though?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. He's their best player as far as I'm concerned, both probably fantasy wise and in real life.
That's really sad. Brandon Bass is their second best player, probably.
Who would even argue that with? I don't think it's particularly close.
With Philly,
I think Clarkson is pretty good.
Oh, yeah, I do too. But I think he's like a Kobe light. He shoots a lot. He's a good scorer. He gets the rebounds and assists here and there.
Mm-hmm.
He's an old Kobe light.
A poor man's young Kobe Bryant. Is that what you're telling me?
With Philly, Robert Covington, I have him as just go ahead and add him in all standard leagues, especially after that steal run he went on.
I'm guessing he's gone already, but if he's not, I absolutely agree.
I would expect he was gone, but if he's still sitting there, pick him up. He had 5 3-pointers. He does look like the most competent person on Philadelphia. And, of course, I'm in a very shallow league, so I picked him up yesterday expecting my steals to increase, and he had 0 steals tonight. So that was great.
So... Over his last 8 games, which is the last 2 weeks, he has averaged 16 points, 2.5 3-pointers, 6.5 rebounds, 2.5 assists, 3.5 steals, 1.1 blocks. He's shooting 42% and 80% from the free throw line. That's basically like a top 10 or 15 player.
Yeah, that's out of your mind. Type stuff.
I love Robert Covington partially because
a beautiful Bob.
Yeah.
Beautiful
yeah.
Bob Covington. I love but, yeah, I do too. He's secretly fun.
He's not going to be a top 20 player. So if anybody believes in him in sort of like a top 30 or 40 way, I would feel good. I would feel good about trading for that sort of value.
Yeah. If you have someone in your league who refers to him as Beautiful Bob, trade him Robert Covington.
He's not obviously that guy's durable.
Too much time thinking of him.
So that's one, you know, that's one of just a few reasons why he's not going to continue to average three plus steals or this many points probably. So hold on to him in most cases, but if you could get sort of like, I don't even know who's in that range.
If you can get top 60 value for him, top 70 value for him,
I think that's about his range. I think that's he's a top 75 player. Yeah. So I'm looking inside the top 50 right now. I feel like
if he is young, he is 25. So there is a chance that he improves somewhat due to Okafor being there, taking drawing in defense more to the low post, allowing him to shoot more threes. So there could be a little bit of a bump in his 3-point shooting on this year. But I'd say,
like, if I could trade him for Porzingis, I would do that. But if I could, the best I could get for him was like Thaddeus Young or something, I'd probably just stick with Covington.
Yeah, I don't know if I believe the Thaddeus Young hype.
That's what I'm saying. And in players in that range, yeah, like
Covington has upside. He's got ownership of the minutes.
Yeah, and I wouldn't like Bradley Beal, Monte Ellis, people in that. You know, Jordan Clarkson. I would keep Covington over all of those type of guys.
Over Bradley Beal.
Yeah, and you know, to be fair, I'm not the biggest Bradley Beal fan.
Neither am I. To play devil's advocate on Bradley Beal, Beal will probably, let's say health isn't an issue, right? I know Bradley Beal has some health issues.
We're in an imaginary world where Bradley Beal doesn't hurt every season.
So right away, there's already an issue, but Bradley Beal's going to give you more points. He's probably going to give you same amount of threes.
I'm not sure I agree totally with those two things.
Really?
I think Covington gives you more threes, and I don't know that the points – you're probably right on points, but I don't think it's appreciably different.
It's not like a 5-point difference.
No.
Even. But for the sake of argument, Bradley Beal in the last month – which I guess is 9 games, so a similar sample size to Robert Covington's. 17.5 points, almost 2 threes, almost 5 rebounds, 3.5 assists, 1.3 steals, 0.3 blocks.
Okay. So I think Covington can beat him. I think he can be close in points. You're probably right. Bill probably beats him there. I think he can beat him in threes. I think he can beat him in rebounds. I think he can beat him in steals. Blocks. Beal isn't good in blocks. Covington isn't particularly either. That's probably a wash. Assists is probably a wash. Beal's probably got him a little bit there. I think percentages are pretty close. So, you know, give me Covington.
Oh, interesting. I'm not going to go to bat for Beal because I do like Covington more. But I don't think there is a huge difference. I think you could go either way. If you like Beal more, go with Beal. So I think it's personal preference at this point.
Fair enough.
That would be a good matchup for the sponsor.
Hey, lead into the
poll. That's a professional segue.
Yeah. So if you wanted to have a disagreement with me about which player was better, Robert Covington or Bradley Beal, we could certainly settle it a number of ways. One of the best ways to settle it is with the No Halftime app. No Halftime app is an app you can download on iTunes for your iPhone or iPad or iPod Touch, if that's how you roll. You can download it, and it's basically like a daily fantasy sports app, except for your lineup consists of only one player. So we could literally do a challenge where I play Bradley Beal, you play Robert Covington, or vice versa, and we could settle who the better player is. Of course, I would want to take Robert Covington, but
I would take Bradley Beal. I think that's a toss-up.
Maybe that's one you and I can set up. Yeah. Or if any of the listeners want to challenge me on that, I'd certainly be up for a challenge.
He's all takers. Everyone challenge him.
It's pretty easy to set up those challenges too. You can do them privately and then just email them out, or you can do them publicly and they're basically show up on the app as a card that you can swipe left if you like it, or swipe right if you don't like it, or whichever way it goes. Sort of like a dating app that we talked about yesterday. And it's super simple. You just click, if you like a matchup that somebody's proposed, you click accept and you're good to go. If you don't like it, you go the other way and you can see another challenge that somebody's proposed. You don't have to worry about salaries or setting lineups or anything like that. It's super easy. It's a fun way to sort of engage, but not spend so much time working on an entire DFS lineup and a bunch of scenarios on if this player plays or this player. It's just an easy way to have fun with it. They offer lots of different sports, NFL, MLB, college football, college basketball. And the best part is just by listening to this podcast, you can get a free $25 bonus to play around with. Use the promo code BBALL. That's BBALL at sign up. And they'll deposit the $25 into your account and you can start playing right away. That's once again, go to the iTunes store. Is that right? I don't know if I'm using the right terminology. Go to the place where you download iTunes apps, type in No Halftime and get started right away. So, all right. Yeah,
if you had a disagreement about Beal and Covington, don't have a bat fight about it. Go to nohalftime.com. Or right. Just download the app on the iTunes store.
Yeah, you can definitely go to the website, though. That will give you some good other information.
Yeah, use Google. People use the internet. They could figure this out, right?
They could. But the one thing that they got to remember is the promo code BBALL, because that's going to get you the free money. And what's better than free money, Mike?
Not much.
Not much. All right. Let's get back into it. Let's talk about some more of these box scores.
Yeah, let's go to the Phoenix Nets game.
Makes me sad every time we have to talk about the Nets.
Yeah, they have no future.
Or present. Or past.
But they don't actually exist. There is no Brooklyn Nets after a few years. It's really sad to be a fan of that team if there are any.
You wanted to talk about Brook Lopez here.
I did. He had a really good he's been having a pretty good season so far. So if you kind of took him in the draft knowing he is an injury risk, he had 23 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, and a block. 10 for 20, so that's good for your percentages. But Brook Lopez, while he's having a great season, is a giant injury risk. And I have him in one of my leagues, and every week I sit there and say, I got to get rid of this guy. I know he's going to get injured. And then the other half of me is saying, well, look how good he's playing. You don't really have another good center. You got to figure that out. But I'm starting to lean towards the, if you have Brook Lopez, bet on the injury and go ahead and start shopping him around. Do you agree with that?
So my general feeling with Brook Lopez is that he's usually the value that he provides is not commensurate with where my league usually values him. So I rarely own him, in part because of the injury risk and in part just because I feel like people look at they get excited about the numbers that he puts up, the 20 points and the 2 blocks, and he doesn't have a killer free throw percentage. And so they think like, I just got to have this guy, and they sort of overdraft him. So I'm always okay with trading Brook Lopez because I think his perceived value is always higher than his real value, but I'm not sure. I think it's fair to call him an injury risk anymore at this point, any more than any other player. Like, he played a good amount of games last season.
I mean, he misses almost a whole season every other year for the past 5 years. It's weird. I'm in like the exact opposite type of league. He is completely undervalued in my league because they know he's an injury risk. And he's also kind of known for, you know, taking it pretty easy and not getting rebounds, even though he's 7 foot tall and just being a scorer. I mean, last year he did kind of burst into this like top 20 player for like the last 2 weeks of the season. So he has that talent. And I think he is playing. No, he was playing for money last year. He did get paid over the offseason, correct?
He did. Yep. Where would you guess? Maybe you know this. You have this in front of you. Where would you guess he ranks over the last 15 games? As far as basically the last month.
I should know this because he's on one of my teams. 42nd.
Yeah, on a per game basis, I've got him about 75th.
Ooh,
yeah.
Great.
And the line, like I said, it's sort of just deceiving. Like he's averaging 20 points, 8 rebounds, two blocks. But you know his lack of assists, his lack of anything with 3-pointers or steals. Like I get that there aren't a lot of big guys.
20 points a game.
Yeah, no, there's not a lot of guys that can score 20 points and shoot the free throw percentage that he does and block shots. So he's sort of a rare commodity there, but I do think like when you sort of tally up all the things that he does, I don't think they're as valuable as they seem when you just focus on his good categories.
Well, I mean, and I guess for that reason, wouldn't you want to move, if you're in a league that overvalues him like you are, wouldn't you want to move him for someone who is like a top 40 player?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. No, that's what I'm saying. So that's sort of my answer with Brook Lopez is that he's overvalued, but I don't think it's necessarily because an injury is imminent. Like my guess is the most likely scenario is he finishes the season without any sort of major injury problems. Like I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that the injury is coming. I just think that he's sort of overvalued.
I would take that bet.
Yeah.
See, my lack of value in him is strictly due to injury. I do think he is a pretty good fantasy player if you're doing 9-cat, which I normally do. His percentages from a center help a lot.
And you know, those have been down a little bit, but the turnovers definitely help. He hasn't been over 50% this season, which you would hope. If you've got a center scoring 20 points a game, you want him. And they're under 50%. That sort of poses a problem if you're combining with any other players that aren't high. You know, if you're trying to put him with James Harden, say who's a little below average on field goal percentage, then you're in a real hole already.
If you're expecting him to carry you in field goals, he's not going to. No. If you can pair him up with someone like
Durant
I was going to say it used to be Al Horford, but Al Horford is shooting the same, is shooting 1% better than Brook Lopez.
Yeah, it's the those 3-pointers are the thing with him.
Anything else stand out in this box score with you? No. Alex Lynn, 35 minutes, 13 for 14, 3 blocks, 2 steals.
That must be his most diverse stat line he's ever put up. Like I think of him as a guy who's going to get high single digit rebounds and get some blocks and that's it.
Yeah.
This is a pretty solid line from the big guy.
Intrigued by that?
Yeah, I'm okay picking him up until Tyson Chandler gets back.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you think it's simply a product of Tyson Chandler being out?
Oh, totally.
And Tyson Chandler has been out a few games. This is the only game Alex Lynn, I was looking into it. This is the only game Alex Lynn has played over 30 minutes with Tyson Chandler out.
And I think Tyson Chandler just missed the last two games, right?
Yeah, he hasn't missed a lot of games.
And then so Lynn played 28 minutes, and then he played 35 minutes tonight. I think you probably expect 30 minutes from him. I think you can probably expect something like 10 points, 9 rebounds, and maybe a block or 1.2 blocks or something like that.
With Tyson Chandler out.
With Tyson Chandler out. And then I'm dropping him as soon as Tyson Chandler gets back.
Yeah, I'd consider him more of a streaming factor. Tyson Chandler is actually, he played 4 minutes 3 games ago and missed that fourth game. And if you look at Lynn,
Lynn hasn't hasn't played big minutes in all of those games.
I don't know if that's the matchup that they were dealing with.
That could be a problem too, though.
So yeah, if Lynn is not the de facto center at all times, playing 30 plus minutes when Tyson Chandler is out, I'm worried about that. And while I see this like really great fantasy line, I've had a few people tweet at me asking about picking him up, who to drop for him. I think he just had a really good night. I think he's a good player. I think he could be a good fantasy player. Tyson Chandler could be back the next game, two games from now.
Yeah. I think there's a good chance that you've seen his best game this season.
Yes.
I wouldn't expect the assists and the steals to continue. But like I said, if you need some blocks and you need some rebounds and he's on your waiver wire and Clint Capela is not available,
yes,
I would go ahead and pick him up. But, you know, like I would pick Capela up way before I picked up Lynn.
Yeah, I think Capela has a little bit more opportunity to play, yep, even though it's crowded in his where his position is. T. Jones should be playing and he's not. So if he's playing now, what is that saying about this Rockets team other than they're just, you know, flailing in the water right now? It's really sad to see a title contender from last year play so terribly. But Terrence Jones should be playing if he was good enough to play it.
Yeah.
So if he's not going to get the minutes, someone needs to. And I guess Clint Capela is the winner. But once that favor changes again, move on quick.
All right. You want to talk about Memphis, New Orleans?
Yeah. Why not? What did I have for this one? Let's see.
My buddy Marc Gasol had quite a game.
Marc Gasol, you said the best line of the night was I think
John Wall. Give it to John Wall narrowly, but
we're gonna give it to John Wall. 38 points, 13 rebounds.
This is Marc Gasol.
Assists, 4 blocks, 16 for 16 free throw percent for 3-point or 3 free throw. Not 3-point. That'd be amazing.
Steph Curry would be impressed with that.
Yeah. Steph Curry would be mildly impressed by it. 11 for 22 in the field. That's a hardcore Marc Gasol line.
That's a great line. Yeah. And kind of a reward for anybody who stuck with Marc Gasol.
Which you should.
Yeah.
You should be sticking with Marc Gasol. People who panicked on him. He was dealing with some neck strains, I think. And I always, whenever I see a guy is not playing great and then it comes out that he's been injured, I usually say, well, I usually correlate those two. I usually just say, even if he is actually just playing bad and had nothing to do with the injury, I just say, well, he was playing bad. I'm going to give him another week or two to figure it out to get healthy. Marc Gasol looks like he's healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting for the Pelicans, Tyreke Evans returned.
Yeah, this is probably the news of the night. I mean, I guess if we would have organized this by big news, this is probably it. 31 minutes. So kind of, I got to say, that's probably the most surprising part of the box score to me. He did have 20 points, 10 assists, 5 rebounds, 2 3-pointers, and a block.
It's a very Tyreke Evans line.
That's a very good line. I'm just surprised that he played so much right off the bat with the way they're managing Jrue Holiday.
I'm also surprised. I think he was supposed to come back the last game, and they waited another couple days. They wanted to wait till this game to bring him back. I don't know why you'd want to bring him back against the Grizzlies and play him 31 minutes. That seems like a really bad idea, like with Tony Allen out there. I guess Tony Allen didn't only play 15 minutes.
But, or Mike Conley, like any of them. Yeah, it's a tough defensive matchup.
Courtney Lee, none of those are great. You're not going to have an easy night with those guys in front of you. But he thrived. He played well. If for some strange reason that he's out there under a waiver, he won't be for more than the next 5 minutes. But the most concerning thing I see with Tyreke Evans, or I guess the most interesting point, Eric Gordon, 20 minutes, Ish Smith, 14 minutes.
I'm really surprised by the Eric Gordon number of minutes.
Norris Cole 23.
Yeah.
Even more surprising.
Yeah. Alonzo G is still playing 28 minutes. I think let's give him a little bit to settle in.
Yeah.
Ish Smith has had a nice run. His days are probably.
I'm roughly dropping good. Ish Smith in every league.
Yeah.
Drew Holiday is probably a month away from playing starters minutes.
But between Norris Cole and Tyreek Evans.
Eric Gordon should play probably close to 30 minutes a game.
I would think so. I'm watching it at this point because that 20 minutes concerns me, but I think that's just kind of a fluke of the night.
Memphis is big. Memphis is a big team. So maybe they wanted to go with Alonzo G, who's a little longer to guard Jeff Green.
I do think Eric Gordon suffers from the fact that Tyreek Evans is back. So
I think everybody does. So that's something I was writing about with his return, that we haven't really seen Anthony Davis play with Tyreek, Andrew, and Eric Gordon more than what, like 20 games?
If you include Ryan Anderson in there, which is probably our best offensive lineup, that's a lot of people who want to shoot a lot of times.
Yeah, and Tyreek needs the ball in his hands to be effective.
Yeah.
Which,
and honestly, so does Drew Holiday and Eric Gordon.
Eric Gordon, yeah.
Yes.
So I'm a little worried about all three of their values. Because when I vaguely remember them all playing together, it seemed night by night one person would go off and the rest of them would suffer.
Yeah.
Which worries me because I have Drew Holiday. I'm desperately waiting for him to play starters minutes so I have a real point guard on my team. That's how bad my point guards are.
All right, let's talk about the Orlando-Minnesota game.
Sure.
I think the most interesting thing here probably is Orlando. What's Orlando doing with the rotation? Looks like they brought Victor Oladipo off the bench once again. He only played 27 minutes. Had sort of a nice night, though. 13 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals, 2 blocks. You'll take that.
Yeah, I've seen some offers for Oladipo flying around. People are shopping him because I think they're worried about him coming off the bench. They're worried about Skiles' lunatic minutes. If someone's shopping you Oladipo, are you buying if it's a good trade, but let's say
I would give up Covington for him.
Yeah, definitely.
Who else were we talking about earlier who we said we'd trade for a top? Maybe that was Covington.
Bradley Beal.
Oh, absolutely.
100%. I'm trying to think of some higher level guards. And obviously that escapes me because I was not prepared to.
And let me say this. I think there's some risk there. Like, I don't know. I can't say that I know what Scott Skiles is going to do, but Victor Oladipo is their best player.
Yeah. So
I think it's just going to figure itself out somehow. And there might be some growing pains over the next, like if you trade for him over the next month, there might be some games where he doesn't play a ton of minutes, but I think by the end of the season, he's back up to the same level of minutes that he was at last season.
I agree. Would you trade him for Kent? If you had Kent Bazemore, they offered you.
Oh my goodness. Oladipo
for Bazemore. Oladipo for Isaiah Thomas.
That one gives me a little pause. I probably would do it, but I don't think it's a given that he's better than Isaiah Thomas. Like, I think that's probably the right range, but I'm pretty high on Isaiah Thomas.
I think I would do it simply. I like Isaiah Thomas as well. I don't trust Isaiah Thomas to keep up the level of play that he currently is playing. He's in the same type of situation. He could go back to the bench. He could get traded and be a seventh man on some team.
Yeah.
I think there's the same type of risk, just it hasn't appeared yet with Isaiah Thomas. That is showing.
I trade Tyreek Evans for him. Who we just saw have a nice game. I trade Rajon Rondo for him, who has been sort of inflated, I think. Eric Gordon, if you could get away with that still. Probably not after Tuesday night, but if you could, I would do that.
Teague?
Jeff Teague. No, probably not. I think that's maybe the.
Yeah, I like Jeff Teague a bit more, but this was a lot of people had Oladipo as this is his breakout year. And he's coming off the bench, so that's not a good sign.
No.
But I do like him a lot better. A lot more. If people are getting nervous with him on the coming off the bench, this might be the time to go buy low on him.
People are sort of getting excited about Andrew Nicholson, who played another 31 minutes off the bench. He's sort of playing the starter's minutes while Channing Frye is starting. Frye's only played like 17 minutes tonight. I've got questions about Nicholson. I don't think he's that great. Like, two games where he's – like tonight he scored 15 points and had 6 rebounds. Last game he had 14 points and 8 rebounds. Based on the minutes he's playing, which is roughly 24, 25 minutes a night. I know he played 31 on Tuesday night. 15 points and 6 rebounds is not enough for me to pick up a guy off the waiver wire if he's doing really nothing else. He has 3 assists this season, I think. He has 1 steal this season. He's blocked a couple of shots, but he's basically a rebounds and points guy, and I don't even think he's particularly good in either of those categories.
Yeah, you could say over the last week he's played 26 minutes, easily the best stretch of his career. he's 26, so that always, once you get past that 25-26 range, you're kind of who you are, I feel. Obviously, there's always exceptions. Damari Carroll, one of the main ones. But over his great last week, he's ranked 127th on averages, 10 points, 6 rebounds, nothing else to talk about. A 3 a game. Yeah. So I agree with you that he's not bringing a ton to the table other than, I mean, not even great points and rebounds. Kind of reminds me of our discussion about Aaron Aflalo. I'd rather have Aaron Aflalo than this guy.
Yeah, that's probably fair.
We didn't want Aaron Aflalo on our team, so I'm not picking this guy up. Unless you're in a deeper league, obviously deeper leagues take your take the minutes where you can get them.
And I don't know what to tell you. I just kind of keep thinking this Orlando rotation is in flux. I'm hoping that it gets to a steady state at some point, but before it does, I'm not sure. Like, you can point out that Vukovic played 37 minutes on Tuesday night, and Fournier only played 28 minutes. But, you know, I just don't think that's where it's going to end up. Like, it's going to fluctuate.
I think it switches. At some point, it has to switch back, right? They have to find their best starting five.
I hope that's what Skiles is doing. I hope that he's just trying a bunch of different things. He's trying a bunch of different combinations and players and trying to figure out what he likes and who he likes playing together. And he's not sort of just going to go with this, like a Brad Stevens type approach where he just plays whoever he feels like whenever he feels like it.
Yeah, I don't think Skiles is that revolutionary. He's an old school, if you're playing hard and playing defense, you're going to play. And you know what? Maybe Oladipo was not practicing hard. I mean, he was Tibbs before Tibbs was, without the defensive genius, I guess. Yeah.
But I can't fault the results. Like, Orlando's winning. So yeah, they won again on Tuesday night. So it's kind of this weird strategy. Doesn't make sense, but they're winning.
And against a good Minnesota team. And now Minnesota's doing something with their minutes as well. Karl Anthony Towns, 22 minutes, 2 for 11. Gorgui Dieng, 29 minutes.
That hurts me pretty deep.
I'm really surprised by this, how this happened. You never see a rookie play really, really well and then get minutes cut.
Yeah. He's another guy. I just kind of have to believe, like, he's their best player. Just the same way that Oladipo is the Magic's best player. Like, Karl Anthony Towns is their best player. And the fact that he has played over the last 5 games, he's played 19 minutes, 22 minutes, 21 minutes, 26 minutes, and 22 minutes is very concerning. He hasn't scored double digits in only one of those games.
See, if it was we're resting him more back to backs, we are taking our time with him. We want him to
no
to
foul be, trouble in any of those games, by the
way. Yeah, there's no reason for him to be playing those low minutes It is if it was every other game, I would they haven't be been less playing concerned. The fourth
quarter.
It's every game.
Well, I think it's the fourth quarters predominantly because he's still starting. I think they just I don't know if they're trying to get more out of him where they're not playing him in the fourth quarter until he plays better. I don't know what more they expect from him.
Yeah, I don't – he was playing better. I mean, he's really good. I don't know what to make of the situation because I don't think there's a precedent for it.
I just have to believe
that games in a row they realized
Carl Anthony Towns is their best player and he's going to get – like they're not going to play him 22 minutes a night. I think that would be – ridiculous. So yeah. I think a total buy low at this point.
100%. If you can snag him in any league, snag him right now. You might have
I had somebody offer me it's a dynasty league, so he obviously has a little more value there.
Oh.
But not a dynasty, excuse me, a keeper league.
Yeah, still.
Yeah, inflating salaries. Somebody offered me Nerlens Noel for Carl Anthony Towns.
I would do that.
I
would do it. Do it.
I don't think I can give up on
Carl Anthony Towns. I have nothing to give up.
No, I feel like Carl Anthony Towns is going to be better than Nerlens Noel this season.
With your keeper structure, which one is going to have more value over the next 3 years?
Carl Anthony Towns. Carl Anthony Towns is going to be a top five player in a year or two.
And that's why I would trade right there.
No, no, yeah. I have Carl Anthony Towns. Somebody is trying to get him from me.
Oh, I thought someone was trying to trade.
Yeah, yeah.
Carl Anthony Towns to you, and I was like, that guy's not doesn't know what he's doing.
No, I think you're going to see that where, you know, if you have Carl Anthony Towns, people are going to try to get him from you. Don't do that.
I do have a running theory. It's about why Gorgui Dieng is suddenly playing. Maybe they want to move him.
Yeah,
and they can't move him unless he's showcasing himself. Dieng is good. Is Dieng worth picking up in all standard leagues with these upper 20-minute games?
I think so. You know, I've been as big of a proponent as anybody of saying Gorgui Dieng is just not going to get the minutes this season.
Yeah, same.
But it's turned around. Like in the last five games, he's played at least 25 minutes in each game about 25 minutes in each game or more. He hasn't hit 30 yet, but I don't think he needs to be fantasy relevant. And that might sound like a departure from what I said earlier in the season. All I said earlier in the season is basically, I don't see the scenario where he gets to 27 minutes, 28 minutes a game. And I guess the scenario is they stop playing Carl Anthony Towns, which seems ridiculous.
It's the completely alien scenario that shouldn't be happening.
Yeah, but he's so good at steals and blocks. Like, he's relevant in 27 minutes a game. So if that's what he's going to get, I'm totally fine picking him up and riding him for as long as this lunacy continues.
Yeah, if you're in, especially in nine cat leagues and – really, any I'd say head-to-head leagues where you need those weird stats like blocks and steals, the guy is great. His field goal percentage is great, even though he's not obviously shooting a ton. But it's very strange, just like you're saying. I had the same analysis of him. He's not going to play enough to be relevant, and in that 2018 to 22 minute range, he's not relevant. But in the 26 to 30 range, he is. And that's kind of strange.
The last thing I guess I would say with Gorgui Dieng is most people, I feel like most of the guys on the waiver wire that you pick up and become relevant, people don't usually value. They kind of look at them as a guy they don't want to trade for because they should have picked him up off the waiver wire. At least that's my experience. I always have a hard time trading those guys. I think he is an exception to that. Like there's a lot of people who love Dieng. I don't know if it's all the people that picked him up like his rookie season when he won a bunch of people their head-to-head leagues or what, but there's a lot of people that have been waiting for Dieng to be really good. So if you know somebody like that in your league and you can sell him on this little streak, I just don't think he'll continue to play over Carl Anthony Towns. They haven't shown a lot of willingness to play them together. They want to get Bleacher minutes. They want to get Kevin Garnett minutes.
I don't know why they're giving Kevin Garnett minutes.
At some point, they're going to get Pekovic back for 15 minutes a game. So I think this might be the right stretch to try to move Jang if there's a guy in your league who is really upset that they missed out on picking him up and believes in Jang a lot.
Yeah, he was kind of one of my snags off the wire last year. And like I said, I played a lot of 9-cat roto leagues. And in 9-cat roto leagues, that guy is incredible. He doesn't really hurt you. I mean, he doesn't get threes because he's a center. But he doesn't hurt you anywhere. And he does rebounds well, steals well, blocks great, field goal and free throws all solid. So he was ended up being ranked last year on averages 49th. And that's with, you know, the beginning of the year not playing a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
Over the last 2 weeks, same 9-cat this year with a, you know, 10-7, steal and a half, two blocks. He's ranked 24th. So if you're in those 9-cat roto leagues, I think he's a must pick up. You got to ride him out. But I would also agree his situation is super questionable. If you can get like 2 good weeks out of him and ship him out to someone who loves him even more, I think that's the play with him.
Yeah, I'm good with that. All right.
Last game? What do we have?
Yeah, last game, and that game isn't even finished yet. It's in overtime.
Oh, well, that's close enough.
Yeah, we can talk about it still.
Let's see if anything stands out here.
Zaza Pachulia has 21 rebounds.
That stands out.
With a minute left.
Wow.
He's been a pleasant surprise this season, that's for sure.
I think people who are paying attention to him in Milwaukee knew he had that. He has these weird games where he's like incredible.
Yeah, it's just the consistent minutes. I didn't ever expect him to get anything more than like 24 minutes a game, and he has gotten sort of you know, close to 30 minutes a game in Dallas.
Yeah, I'm worried about him breaking down a little bit due to that the high level of playing time. Dirk still doing Dirk things.
Raymond Felt. Ron Williams. Yeah, Dirk had an awesome game. 28 points, seven rebounds, 6 assists, 2 3-pointers. Chandler Parsons sat out this game, so Raymond Felton, everybody's favorite, started the game with just a minute left or so. He only had 6 points and 5 assists, so don't get excited about him starting.
He's on a team.
You don't want him on your team. Whether he's on the Mavericks and starting or not, you don't want him on your team.
I'm surprised he's still.
Yeah,
I mean, he might have lost some weight, I guess. I don't know.
There was some concern about Damian Lillard maybe missing the first game of his career, but because he left the last game with an abdominal pain after like just 16 minutes, but he played the entire game. Didn't play particularly well. He did have 8 rebounds and 9 assists, which is great, but his shooting was off. He shot 6 of 20 from the field. He only had 16 points.
Yeah, it looks like, Myers Leonard, 23 points.
4 3-pointers.
4 3-pointers. The steal. Is this the resurgence of Myers Leonard that I've been waiting for?
No, he's not starting. So that's something to keep in mind. It's still Plumlee and Vonleh, although Vonleh's not playing starters minutes. Is my honest answer. I don't know if Leonard is ever going to be like a consistent, capable player, but I think you pick him up and see. Like, I think you pick him up and let him play for a little while if he's on your waiver wire. I think he is on a lot of waiver wires, and you know, maybe it does come out where he's able to hit a bunch of 3-pointers and get you some blocks and get you some points and rebounds and be a really productive player.
Yeah. So like I was saying, like with 20% of the season, you got your sample size, you know who these guys are, but you also have to like contextualize your sample size. So Myers Leonard in a new starting role, playing a stretch four on a team that is completely new, then gets injured. That's not a great sample size to base your entire analysis on him to say, oh, this guy is a bust. He's not, people said he was going to shoot threes and get rebounds and do everything, and he's not doing anything. I'm still willing to give him a shot. I'll probably regret that. but I'm willing to give him a go because of his unique skill set.
Yeah, we just don't know. And there's so many players on the waiver wire that you do know what they are, that if you have a spot and you're looking for a guy who could be great or could, like, there aren't, I guess what I'm saying is there aren't a lot of lottery tickets left on the waiver wire at this point.
Yeah.
And he is one of them. Like, he's one of, he has a high ceiling. He probably has a low floor. I think give him a week or two. If it doesn't work out, what's the harm? You drop him and you pick up whoever else is out there that doesn't have a high ceiling.
So. Yeah, I don't disagree. I think one of the things that stands out to me on the Portland box score is Al-Farouq Aminu's 18 minutes, 0 points. He started out well and has kind of just disappeared.
Yeah. The funny thing was, so he's always been a good, like, per possession or per 36 minute guy. So when we expected him to get big minutes, it wasn't a surprise when he started off the season so well, but he has totally fallen off the map to the point where I'm okay dropping him at this point.
Yeah.
And I was as high on him as anybody at the preseason.
I mean, depending on your league, obviously, I'd be willing to give him another few games to see if there's an injury or something going on here. I'm surprised at the drastic fall off.
Right.
From where he was playing and how well he was filling up, you know, all nine cats, really. And just falling off this hard is just very surprising. Move on. Like I said, get aggressive with your drops. Move on if you want. I think there's still there's potential there, obviously. So I'd keep an eye on him.
Yeah. And in a nine cat league, that might be some good advice. I'm probably dropping him. I'm, like, you know, a lot of the guys that we talked about tonight, Myers Leonard, I'd probably drop him for. Clint Capella, I'd drop him for. Who else did we talk about? Some of those guys we were talking about.
Otto Porter.
I would probably stick with Al-Farouq Aminu, actually.
Yeah, I like his upside more than the streakiness of Otto Porter. J.R. Smith or Al-Farouq Aminu?
Yeah, see, that's probably a place where I'd pick up J.R. Smith because he's playing better right now. And then when he stops playing better, you move on to the next guy.
I like that strategy. It's, I think that's a good idea, especially in head-to-head streaming leagues, but even roto leagues.
Yeah.
Though you do, your bench is kind of for waiting on guys, so you have more leeway to wait on Aminu. But if you need a hot hand right now, and that's with Roto is kind of, there's always conflicting strategies with Roto, which is why I find it more interesting other than the play more games than somebody else head to head strategy is that do you sit on your games and wait for hot streaks, or do you overplay hot streaks? Do you bring guys in off the waivers and let them run your game totals up? And I'm kind of for the, if you got a hot hand, play it, because all those games, it doesn't matter when you get your quality games. It matters that you get quality games.
Yep, I totally agree. And towards the end of the season, those start to get scarce.
Yeah, and you don't want to be catching up on games with, you know, 3 weeks left and your roster's, you know, your roster's full and you can't play extra games because these are the normal games that they need to be playing. I don't think you want, you don't want, and obviously you don't want to finish the league behind on games. So,
all right, Mike, that's all the games they scheduled for us tonight. Yeah,
I think that's it.
Do you have anything else you want to share before we go? You want to plug some stuff?
No, yeah, sure. I'll, you can check out my stuff on my writing on watchtheboxes.com. I also link to a couple articles that I do for other sites off of there. I do a drop article and a waiver wire article, and I'm kind of this week I'm taking a look at what I've talked about over the last month and kind of updating what I've said and kind of reviewing if I know what I'm even talking about or not.
What was the verdict?
Since I was judging, I did pretty well. Who would have thought? But yeah, other than that, watchtheboxes.com or follow me on Twitter at watchtheboxes. I'm on Twitter a lot while I'm watching the NBA, which is most week nights. But yeah, that's about it. Thanks for having me on, Mark.
Oh man, thanks for coming on. It was good. Always fun to talk basketball.
Yeah, anytime.
Thank you all for listening. Don't forget to rate and review the podcast. Don't forget to subscribe. If you want to talk to me on Twitter, you can talk to me on Twitter at Mark F. Roberts. Mark is spelled with a C. And other than that, we'll be back tomorrow with a new podcast. I hope you have a good time watching some basketball. We'll see you later. Bye.